Okay, today's daf is daf Nazir, daf Memvav, Agun Chodesh to all, and we are about to start in a minute from the Mishnah on Mem Hei Mabez, but just one makar that we did not get a chance to mention yesterday. That is, we had a number of shitas, which type of Nazir throws his hair under the pot. We had in the Mishnah, we had the Tanakama who says only Tiglachas Tahara, only another Tar throws his hair under the pot, and not another Tameh. Rabbi Meir says everyone throws under the pot except for a Tameh in the Medina, meaning a Tameh in the Beis HaMikdash also does. So Rabbi Meir is the most inclusive about who throws under the pot in the Brice. So we had the Tanakama, who the first Shita was the same as the second Shita in our Mishnah. Everybody throws except the Tameh in the Medina. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Brisa that the Chilik of Tahorim and Tameim, which is the same Shita as we had in the Brisa. And then finally we have the third Shita, which was not in our Mishnah, of the Chachamim, that nobody put it under the pod except for a Tahar in the Mikdash. So there were three Shitas, only a Tahar in the Mikdash, everyone except the Tameh outside the Mikdash, or the split between another Tahar and another Tameh. So just one Har on the Tosos we mentioned yesterday, the Tanakh, Rabbi Meir Shita in the Brisa, that everyone throws under the Dud except for the Tameh in the Medina, Mipnei Shesa'aro Nikbar. So Rabbi Meir is the only one that says, if you're not going to throw it under the Dud, what do you do with it? So Rabbi Meir says, because you have to bury the hair. You have to bury the hair. If you look on the second wide line of Tosfos, Mipnei Shesa'aro Nikbar, Tosfos says, Lo Nisparish Minalan. I don't know where the makar is for this. Where's the makar that if you don't throw the hair under the dud, under the pot of the shlamim, so, you have to bury it. Where's the makar for that? Some of the achronim, the Aruch Meshar in the back of the Gemara says, I don't understand Tosfos. It's a Mishnah Mesechus Temura. So why didn't Tosfos assume that this was the makar? What's the Mishnah Mesechus Temura? If you look at the last Mishnah in Mesechus Temura, the Vlamed Gimel Lama Beis, the Mesechus Temura, the Mishnah there lists all the Nikbarin and all the Nisrafin. Nikbarin, those things that have to be buried. Nisrafin, those things that have to be burned. So that's what the Mishnah lists. Elohein HaNikbarin. These are the things that have to be buried. Hakachim Shehipila, Shehipila, Yikavru. You have a Vlad, a Vlad of a Karban that's dead. Or Sharhaniskal, Egla Arufa, Tipari Mitzora, Seir Nazir is on the list. Seir Nazir is on the list of Nikbarin. Upeta Chamar, Ubasa Bechala, Vachulish Nishkudu Bazara, all those are the Nikbarin, all the things that have to be buried. What are the Nisrafin? That has a whole list. Chameis Bepesach, Truma Temeya, Arla, Kilaya Kerem. That's a whole list of Nisrafin and Nikbarin. So that's the, and Seir Nazir is on the list of Nikbarin. Tosfos there asks, Sarach Iyan, Tosfos, that's the Mishnah. Tosfos there asks, what's the makar for the difference between these two? Sarach Iyun, time am I. Why do some things have to be burned and some things have to be buried? So says Tosfos, and I'm sorry, Tosfos is commenting on the next line of the Mishnah. Hanisrafin Efron Mutter, Venikbarim Efron Aser. Says Tosfos that the ones that have to be burned, their afer is mutter. The ashes after they are burned are mutter. Vinikbar and afer and aser. But those that have to be buried, their afer is aser. Their ashes are aser. Let's say after burial. So Tosfos says, what's the difference? So Tosfos there says, V'omer mori haram, dinisrafin kiva chetziva akasa lasarfan, achasha asa ki ilunasas mitzvaso, vein lechadavash nasas mitzvaso, ma'olin bo. When you have a mitzvah to burn something, so after you burn it, you have done what you are supposed to do. Naasis mitzvaso. After you've done what you're supposed to do, so it's mutter. You've already fulfilled what you're supposed to do. Now it's post the time that the object in front of you is related to the mitzvah. Similar to, let's say, an esrog after sukkahs. As we get the sukkahs, it's nasas mitzvah, so it's mutter to get back. You can make jelly out of the esrog. So to nisrafin, after they're burned, their afer is mutter. Hachanami, kivet shenasas mitzvah, so halach isure. So to anything that's burned, its iser has disappeared. Aval hanik barin, to lo hitin akasav lasarfan, mashuch isarayhu laolam. But something that you have to, that has to be buried, even if you would burn it, but the mitzvah is to be buried, the mitzvah isn't to burn it. The mitzvah is to bury it, so therefore you never have the stage of na'asis mitzvah, so you have fulfilled its mitzvah, and therefore its afer will stay usher forever. So that's how Tosfos explains the difference between Nisrafin and Nikbarin, and what's the halach, is there ever an end to it? So Seir Nazir is on the list of Nikbarin. So why doesn't Tosfos say that's the makar? That's the kasha of the Aruch Meisher. So some suggest, some Achronim say maybe Tosis is Tosis is bothered that by Seir Nazir, since when do we say it by a Nazir Tameh and a Nazir Tahar? Right, according to the Shita that says it in our Gemara, Rabbi Meir, it's all hair is included except for Tami Shagilach B'Medina. So how do you know it applies to Tami Shagilach B'Medina? How do you know that? Maybe it's a detail of the of Naziris that Tosis is bothered by. Obviously he knows the Mishnah, but maybe he's bothered by a detail in Naziris. Does it apply to Nazir Tami, Nazir Tar? You got to work out the details. But that's the Mishnah Tzmura, and that's the Tosis. Okay. Says the Mishnah. Hayimavashal as a shlamim, O Shalkan, you're cooking the shlamim, or you're being sholik the shlamim. So what does that mean? If you're cooking or shalkan, what is shlika? So we had a machlokas back in Nedarim, and we have the same machlokas here. Is shlika more or less than normal cooking? Bishul is regular cooking. So what about shlika? So the Mefarish here says, she'enem avushul yafeb. It's not cooked as much as usual cooking is, and Tosis is the opposite. Bishul yoser bidai is cooked more than usual cooking. It's the second line of Tosis. Remember the Ran? We had the Ran back in the Durham daf, mem tes amet aleph. The Ran says, sometimes you have the word shlika mean this, sometimes you have a shlika mean that, more or less, but that is, either way, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, that you cook the shlamim or you show like it. If shlika, it means less than regular bishul, then you know what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. Even though you didn't cook it fully, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. What about if shlika is more than regular bishul? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? If shlika means more than regular bishul, of course, you do a little extra cooking. So Tosfos says, you might have thought, Tosfos is not here. You see on the side, it says, Ayin Tosfos Psachim Lamates. So if you look at Tosfos Psachim Daf Lamates, Tosfos says that, where's Tosfos? That you might say that you go by the last process to determine how to label this item. So maybe Shlika is a different process than Bishul. It's more, but it's not just quantitative, maybe it's qualitative. Tosfos there says in Psachim Lamates, to Kamash Malan, to Bishlika, Eino Yotzi, Mitoris Bishul. The Chiddush is, you might have said it's different, but that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that Shlika, though it's more, it's only quantitative. It doesn't change the status of what you've done. It's still called cooked. Bishul and Shaluk are still called cooked. Don't say that it changes it. We find in other areas, Tosfos doesn't quote it here, but we find in other areas of Halacha that you always go by the final stage of the process in order to label a type of food. Where does it come up? Comes up in Hilcha Shabbos. Hilcha Shabbos by Bishul Achar Bishul and Bishul Achar Afi and Afi Achar Bishul. Let's say you have an item that is cooked and roasted. Roasted in Halacha just means dry heat or baked. Baked in Halacha is dry heat, and Bishul is moist. Moist, like you have noodles. Noodles were cooked in water. So let's say you have something that goes through two processes. It's cooked and it's baked. So what is that called regarding the halachas of Bishul Achar Bishul? You're allowed to do Bishul Achar Bishul, but you're not allowed to do Afia Achar Bishul, or Bishul Achar Afia. So what's the halacha in that regard? So the post can say, you go by the final stage. Whatever you did second, that's what it's labeled as, and then the next thing you're not allowed to do is related to that. So if you first did Bishul and then Afia on a certain food, so then you can't do Bishul next, because that would be Bishul Achar Afia. But you would be able to do Afia, right? It comes up a lot. It comes up about putting challahs on top of the blech, which is be Afia Achar Afia, because putting matzah or challah into your soup, which might be a Bishul Achar Afia, but that might be a cliche. Again, it's various halachos, but that's an area of halacha where you go by the final stage. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah, according to Tosfos. That shlika is done in more, even if it's more than bishul, but it doesn't change the status of the item. So you take the shlamim, or at least parts of the shlamim, and you cook them, as we said yesterday, in one of the four corners of the Ezras Nashim. One of those four rooms is the place designated to cook the carbon shlamim. And then what happens? HaKohen notel es hazroa b'sheila min ha'ayil. The Kohen takes the zroa b'sheila. The zroa is the cooking forearm, right? The zroa takes it from the aisle, from the aisle, which is the shlamim that's cooking. V'chala matzah achas min hasal, v'rakik matzah achas. It's a psukim. Psukim by Nazir. He takes one of the chalas and one of the rakiks. Again, we know that a nazir brings 20 chalas also with his not chalas, just breads with his karban. So the kohen takes the zroa, takes the forearm of the animal of the shlamim, and he takes one of the matz, one of each of the two kinds of matzah, v'nosin hakapi nazir minifan, and he puts it on the hands of the nazir, and he waves it. And he waves it. This is called tnufa. Just like we have tnufa by other contexts, by certain animals require tnufa. So here too, tnufa is required. So he takes the zera b'sheila and he does the tnufa. The Shita B'Kubetzes here notes that the Mishnah just leaves out a detail, but don't make a big deal of it, says the Shita B'Kubetzes. We know by a regular carbon shlamim, not a nazir, by a regular carbon shlamim, you do tnufa. Of the chazay and the shok. The chazay and the shok, every carbon you do tzrufa, right? By every animal, by every chulin animal, you give the zro l'chayayim and the keva to the kohen. By every shlamim animal, you do tzrufa of the chazay and the shok, and you wave it. So you're only waving the zro b'shela here? What about the regular hilchas shlamim? So the Shita B'Kubetza says, no, we're talking about the specific nazir halachas, right? The chazay and the shok do apply to, but it just doesn't say it here. Hu adid be'murim nami meinif the chazi b'shok b'shar shlamim, elo t'vol chashiv haitana elo mashalo haya b'shar shlamim. Mishnah's just saying here was unique to nazir. But of course, regular hilchos shlamim apply to nazir. Shouldn't say it's different. V'gam b'pasuk lo huzik l'hazgir chazi b'shok. Look in the Torah. The Torah doesn't repeat that you have to wave the chazi, the breastbone, and the shok, another part of the leg of the animal. Elo l'fishu davar shok. Why does it only say chazi b'shok? Why doesn't it say chazi b'shok? Because you know that from other halachas of shlamim. Here it's just interested in the chiddush of what's happening here. So the kohen goes to the cooking shlamim, and he takes the zroa b'shela, he takes the forearm, which is unique to nazir, and he takes two matzahs. So imagine the scene, you have the nazir, he's holding his two matzahs, and the zroa, and the chazeh and the shok, so it's a lot, so the kohen and the nazir have it, and they start waving it. So that is the avoda of the Talich Atara of the Nazir. Actually, the Brisker Rav assumes, it says, V'nosin al-kapi al-Nazir. And the Rambam also says, V'nosin al-kapi al-Nazir seems to be that it's a special din of putting it. The Nazir can't just pick it up. It has to be put on the calf of the Nazir. The Brisker Rav says, Yish din nosaf shel nesina al-kapa ve'eno rakechi timsi. Not just a din of the nazir getting it, that he could pick it up. He says, you also see this in the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Misha nizrak alav damim, once he has zrikas adam, hutar, then it would be mutter b'dieved for him to drink wine. Afal pi shelo nasan al kapov velo hanif. Even though it wasn't put on his palms, and waving wasn't done. It sounds like it's two things. Even though it wasn't put on his palm, one, and waving did it done. It sounds like it's a separate din of Nesina al-Kapa, that the Kohen puts the parts of that are going to be waved on top of the Kapi Nazir. So that's what the Mishnah says, V'nosin al-Kapi Nazir, u'menifan, and it is waved. After the Tenufa is done, V'yachar kach, hutar ha-Nazir lishtos yayin, u'letam el-Meisim. And after this is done, the Nazir now is allowed to drink wine and become Tamei Meis. After the tznufa of the shlamim, so this, the Tanakama holds, is basically after everything. That's how the Gemara assumes. Meaning after the karbanis are brought, while the shlamim is cooking, or you brought the other karbanis also, you take it out of the zroa b'shela, and you wave it. So as we'll see, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, but it's also a machlokas here in the Mishnah. But the Tanakama assumes that it's after everything. After everything. So then after this is done, he's allowed to become Tamei Meis, he's allowed to drink wine. What's missing in the Mishnah? He's allowed to get a haircut, right? There were three things. We just had two Mishnayos. Shlosh Aminim, right? What about that? Why does the Mishnah only say two out of three? After this, he can now drink wine. He can now become a mace. So one of the Achronim also suggests that the haircut that he's about to get is not a heter. It's a mitzvah. He's about to cut his hair for a mitzvah, not just for... So the Mishnah doesn't have to say, once the tenufa is done, he's mutter to do this. What do you mean he's mutter to get a haircut? He has to get a haircut. So the Mishnah doesn't have to say that. That teklachas is not just a heter, but it's a mitzvah as part of the Tara process. He doesn't have to drink wine as part of the Tara process. He doesn't have to become Tamei Meis. But the teklachas is part of the mitzvah, so that's why the Mishnah doesn't say it here. Because the Mishnah is just saying the heterim, not part of the mitzvahs. Okay, so the Tanakhama says that after Tnufa it's mutter, which means after everything. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kivan Shinizrak Allah Echad Min Hadamim, Hutar Anazal Lushto Sayin Mil Tavil Mason. Rabbi Shimon says no, but the Evan, once you have Zrikas Hadam of one of the animals, then it's already mutter. You don't have to wait till after Tnufa, even Zrikas Hadam of one of the animals is good enough. Tana Rabbanan, so says the Gemara. The same machlokas in the Mishnah appears in the following brisa. The acher yishta hanazer yayin acher amaisem kulam divrei Rabbi Eliezer. But it says, and afterwards, after everything, the nazir drinks wine. So it means after everything, says Rabbi Eliezer. Interesting. I saw the Alshach Hakadosh says that the acher yishta hanazer yayin. Afterwards, the nazir drinks wine. He's not a nazir anymore. So why does the Torah call him a nazir? Afterwards, the nazir drinks wine. What do you mean? Acher yishta yayin. No, once somebody's a nazir, it never leaves them. The effects of naziris are forever. Somebody's a nazir once, then that's it. V'achar yishan nazir yayin, he's still a nazir. He's still a nazir even afterwards. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. V'chachamim omrim, achar ma'isa yechidi. No, the word achar doesn't have to mean after everything, after one act. After ma'isa yechidi, even after one act, which, like Reb Shimon says, could be Zrikas Adam of one of the animals, that's good enough. Why do the Rabbanan darshan that even after only one act? How do you know the word achar means one? Ksiv hacha, matikachav agamar sukkah. Thanks. Ksiv hacha, vi achar yishta nazar yayin. One pasuk says, achar yishta nazar yayin, the pasuk that we're talking about here, after another drinks wine, vi ksiv hacham, achar hiskalcho es nizro. And it also, another pasuk, which uses the same word of acher, thank you, says after he gets a haircut. So that's talking about one act. Ma hasam, just like the second pasuk, acher ma'isi yachidi, is referring to after one act, which means the haircut. Afkan, also the pasuk of acher yishta nazar yayin, acher ma'isi yachidi, is talking about after one act. Meaning one pasuk says after one act, and the other one says acher, you don't know what it's referring to. So we have a gzeira shava, that acher means after one act, according to the Rabbanan. So again, but what do you mean? Maybe we shouldn't darshan it. Maybe these achers aren't connected. The Gemara answers, Ihachi gzeirah shava lamali. Says, no. If you wouldn't learn this, then what would you use the gzeirah shava for? What would you use the gzeirah shava for? So it's got to mean to connect the achars, and therefore it means achar even ma'isi yachidi. Interesting assumption of the Gemara. What's the Gemara assuming? Why didn't the Gemara just say, okay, so, right, Aaron, you learn the gzeirah shava. What do you mean? What purpose would the Gzeirah Shavah serve? Meaning, why would the Torah use the same word in the two different psukim if not to teach via halacha? So you might have said the Torah uses a lot of the same words. What every S is darshan together, and every time it says the word zeh, and every time, not everything is. So the Gemara could have, why didn't the Gemara answer? So you don't learn anything from the Gzeirah Shavah. Throw out the Gzeirah Shavah. Answer is that no, that's not true. Gzeirah Shavah is part of the Mesorah. You got a Kabbalah from the Gzeirah Shavah. And we haven't mentioned it in a while, so I'll mention it again. And that is the machlokas between Rashi and Tosis and Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph. And that is, everybody agrees that a Gzeirah Shavah is not learned on one's own. Gzeirah Shavah goes back. Ish bi pivish, your Rebbe and your Rebbe's Rebbe. Details of the Gzeirah Shavah, there might be a machlokas about. But, I mean, exactly which halacha do you darshan from the Gzeirah Shavah? But every Talmud receives from his Rebbe, these two words are used for Gzeirah Shavah. What exactly is connected? Okay, that they might not have said. But Rashi and the Gemara there says in Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph that the context is talking about Kavah Chomer, Gzeirah Shavah, all the Yud Gimel Midos. So Rashi there says, V'lo nitan lidrosh me'atzo mikol Yud Gimel Midos Sheva Torah nidreshes me'in ela Kavah Chomer. Rashi has the opposite extreme. Rashi says all the Yud Gimel Midos are from your Rebbe, except for Kal V'Chomer. Kal V'Chomer you can learn on your own. That's pure logic. You don't need a Mesorah for that. But everything else, Binyanav, and Klal Prada Klal, and Rebu Mietz, all of them you have a Mesorah from your Rebbe, except for Kal V'Chomer, but Gzeira Shava is the strongest one. Tosfos has the opposite shita. Tosfos quotes Rashi, the Perusha Kuntres, and then he quotes Vitema Gedola, Perusha Filu Smuchin, that Shnei Mikros Nitnu Lidrosh Min HaTorah. Even Smuchin, a person Kedarshan themselves. V'Kolshekin Hekesha, surely Hekish. Tosfos says the opposite. Kol Amidos Adam Don Me'atzmo Chutz B'Gzeirah Shavah. The opposite case says Tosfos. Really, a person darshans everything on their own. Hekish and Smuchin, all of that, somebody who is a major leaguer, somebody's one of the Bali Masor Kedarshan, the only one you can't darshan on your own is Gzeirah Shavah. So as a machlokes, which extreme you go to? You can do everything except Zera Shava. You could do everything on your own except for Zera Shava. That's Tosfos. Or you could do nothing on your own except for Kal Vachomer. That's Rashi. But either way, Zera Shava is agreed upon that you can't dash it on your own. So right, that, you have to add that into our Gemara. When our Gemara says, throws up its hands and says, what do you mean? What would the Zera Shava teach me? And you have to add in. And once you have a Kabbalah for Zera Shava, you can't just say it's meaningless. You can't just say it's nothing. So that's why... That's the assumption of our Gemara of Ihachi Gzeir Shavah Lamali. Okay, period. Two dots. Amar Rav. So we're going to have the same Gemara twice. One Rav, one Rava. Yeah. I don't know what the Rambam says. I don't remember. I'll have to look it up. I'm sure the Rambam has a shita about it, but whether what he says in the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Okay, we all have homework. Amar Rav. Tnufa B'Nazir Ma'akevus. Rav says, the waving process that we just described in the Mishnah, the waving with the part of the animal and part of the breads, that's ma'akev, Rav says. If you don't do tnufa, the nazir is stuck. He's not finished being a nazir. So who is that according to? Aliba Daman. Who is that according to? We have a machlokas which has come up in the Masechta previously. Ilem Aliba Durabanan. We had a machlokas. Is the haircut a nazir gets ma'akev? Is the haircut ma'akev? That was a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham. Rabbi Eliezer said it's ma'akev, the Chacham said not. So the Gemara says, Rav makes this statement that the waving is ma'akev. So who is that according to? Ilei ma'aliba d'Rabbanon. Is that according to the Rabbanon who say that the haircut is non-ma'akev? So tiklachas abi Rabbanon lo ma'akva, tnufa mi'ba'i. If the haircut is not ma'akev, the waving is ma'akev? Meaning the haircut is much more serious part of the process. Why? Why is the haircut much more serious part of the process? And therefore, if you say the haircut is not ma'akev, surely waving is not ma'akev. So Tosfos says, because the haircut, Tosfos and Hashta, see the fifth Tosfos, Hashta Tiglachas, Shehi Beguf HaNazir. Tiglachas is a mice that has to do with the physical body of the Nazir. It's Beguf HaNazir. So that's more serious than just waving something that's not part of the Guf HaNazir. So if the haircut is not ma'akev, surely the waving is not going to be ma'akev. The Rush adds in one extra line as well. Look all the way at the bottom, about six lines from the bottom of on the bottom of the page. The Rush says, "Hashta tiglacha shehi beguf hanazir amri rabbanan d'lo ma'akeves tnufa she'ena ma'akeves b'shum makom mibayi." Tnufa is never ma'akev. Look, in every other time that you need tnufa by any other carbon, by mitzora and by other shlamim, tnufa is never ma'akev. Should be ma'akev here. Tiglachas by mitzora is ma'akev, just as the contrast. But here, why should it be? So that's what the Gemara says. Who is Rav talking about that tnufa is ma'akev? Is it the Rabbanon? They say tiglachas is not ma'akev. So surely tnufa is not going to be ma'akev. So ela libid Rabbi Eliezer. It must be according to Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the haircut is ma'akev, also says that the tnufa is ma'akev. So the Gemara says pshita. That's obvious why. Ha'amar Rabbi Eliezer achar ma'aseh kulam. We just had the brisa earlier that Rabbi Eliezer says you need the whole process. You need the whole process. So what's the chiddush of tzufas ba'akev? That's part of the process. So the Gemara answers as follows. Ma'u detema, no. You might have said, kivan de la'inyin kapara shiyare mitzvahi hachanami lo ta'akev kamash malon. Now you might have said, since regarding kapara, exactly as the Rush said, in other contexts you find that the tzufa is not ma'akev, the kapara. The kapara and the effects of the carbon are full without tnufa. So you know, it's called shiari mitzvah. It's just leftovers. Literally leftovers of the mitzvah. I mean, it's not a critical element of the mitzvah. You don't need it. So therefore, you might see that here too, it's not ma'akev. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush. Rabbi Eliezer says specifically by nazir, all the actions are li'ikuva. That's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Not just tiklachas, but also tnufa. Continues the Gemara. Here's the Gemara turning over. Umi ma'akva. Is it really true that tnufa is ma'akev? This was Rav. Rav says it's ma'akev. Is it really true? Vatanya, doesn't the Brisa say, Zos toras hanazir, bein sheyesh lo kapayim, bein she'in lo kapayim? Doesn't the Brisa say that this is what a nazir has to do? And it doesn't matter if he has palms or not. Even if he doesn't have a palm. Meaning what? Even if it doesn't have a palm, it doesn't matter. And we assume now, there's going to be two different days of the Gemara, we assume now that this means it's not ma'akev. If he doesn't have a palm, so it's just like somebody who has a palm. The other way. Just like somebody who doesn't have a palm, obviously is unable to do the tnufa. yet we'll still say it's okay. So too, even if somebody has a palm, we'll compare it and say it's also not ma'akev. That's what we assume is the message of this brisa. Zos taras and azir, it doesn't matter if you have a palm or not, meaning it's not ma'akev. And just like somebody who does not have a palm can't do it and it's still okay, so too somebody who has a palm, even if he doesn't do it, it's not li'ikuva. So that's the question on Rav. Is it really ma'akev? What do you mean? We have a brisa that says it's not ma'akev. So the Gemara answers, 1 minute. Ve'elohad etanya, you want to tell me that that's what the brisa means, that it's not ma'akev either way? But look at the following brisa. Zos taras ha'nazir, bein she'yesh lo seyar, bein she'en lo seyar. We have another brisa that says, this is the what it other has to do. It doesn't matter if he's bald or not. It doesn't matter if he has hair or not. Ha'chanami de lo makva, you want to tell me there too? It means that, comparing that just like a nazir who has no hair can't do a haircut and it's still okay, so too a nazir who has hair, it's not ma'akev. But I mean, v'hatanya, but we have a brisa that says it is ma'akev, for even for somebody who doesn't have hair. Nazir memurat, a bald nazir, what's the halacha? Bishamei omrim, eino tzarech lahaver tara rosho. He does not need to put a razor on his head. We'll see what that means, what eino tzarech means. He doesn't need to. Ubeis hilo omrim, tzarech lahaver tara rosho. He says that no, he needs to. What is that? What's the last machlokas? He needs to, he doesn't need to. V'yamar Ravina, Ravina explains, my einu tsarech la beishamai. What does beishamai mean? That a bald nazir, meaning zero hair, does not have to put a tar on his head. Einu tsarech ein lo takana. It means he's stuck. It means he doesn't have a way out. That's what it means, einu tsarech. Beishamai says a bald nazir is a nazir forever. He cannot get out of it because he can't do his taklachas, he can't do his haircut. What does it mean, sarech? It means he has to, and he puts the razor on his head, even though he has no hair. Pashtus, right? That's the pashtus of the Gemara. He has no hair. Meaning, what do you see from this discussion of a bald, one second, a nazir who was bald or not? You see that just because the brisa compares somebody who has hair, somebody who has no hair, it doesn't mean that, okay, you can just forget it, don't worry about it. And we compare that just like the bald nazir doesn't have to worry about it, so too a nazir that has hair doesn't have to worry about it. No, that's not what the brisa means. It means that the opposite kind of, just like a nazir who has hair has to do it, so too a bald nazir has to do something. So we're back, this is how we defend Rav against the brisa. Let me just say the flow again. What was the flow? Rav says that tznufa is not ma'akev. I'm sorry, the tznufa is ma'akev. Rav says if you don't do the waving, that it's no good. You have to do the waving. We asked the kasha, doesn't the brisa say that it doesn't matter if another has palms or not? Which we thought was mashma. It doesn't matter that just like another who has no palms, it's okay. So the another who has palms, it's okay if you don't do it. So the Gemara said, no, you don't make that drasha. Just like the brisa that compares hair, another who has hair, and somebody who is bald, and they're compared to say that you have to do something, so too Rav can interpret the brisa as saying, compare the one who has palms or not, that you have to do something. And you can't do something without, maybe you have to figure out something else to do if he doesn't have palms, as we'll see soon. But that is the defense, so we have a state, we just answered the kasha, and now we're up to a period or a semicolon, we defended Shita's Rav. And Rav still holds that Tznufa is Ma'akev, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah?
According to Beishama Shita, someone who is bald Me'ikara, how does he have to
come out of it? According to Beishama Me'ikara. So that's a question I saw some of the Farshim deal with. Is Beishamai who says, at least this version of Beishamai, who says he's stuck, is that even if he had no hair to begin with? Or is that only, let's say he had hair and then he lost his hair during his naziris? That's not clear. You might say, based on the following that we're going to talk about in a minute, maybe it only applies if he had hair to begin with and then something happens. But maybe he can't become a nazir if he didn't have hair to begin with. But let's continue for a minute. The Gemara just says, by the way, this Shita of Beishamai, who says you're stuck forever, is similar to the following. Hainu Rebbe Pidas. Similar to Rebbe Pidas. Who's Rebbe Pidas? Dumb Rebbe Pidas. Beishamai Rebbe Eliezer Amru Davar Echad. Beishamai and Rebbe Eliezer say one Shita. My Rebbe Eliezer, who Beishamai we just had. Beishamai says, if you're a bald nazir, sorry, right, you're stuck, and you can never drink wine again. So what's the Rebbe Eliezer that goes with Beishamai? Detanya, the brisa says, by Mitzora. Ain lo, Rebbe Noah, Mitzora, part of the process that a Mitzora has to go through, we referred to it a little bit yesterday, is that he has to have oil and blood sprinkled on his thumbs. On his thumbs. The thumbs of his hands, the thumbs of his toes. So ain lo bo in Yad Varegel, unless he doesn't have thumbs. Unless he doesn't have thumbs. So ain lo tahara olamis, Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says, there's no way to become out of out of becoming a mitzora in latar alav, because you need to do this process. And if you didn't do the process, so then you can no longer become tahor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, yanichen al makom av yetzei. Rabbi Shimon says, no, wherever your thumbs are supposed to be, you could sprinkle there. That's also good. Yanichen al makom av yetzei. The Chachamim Omer, yaniach al shel smol v'yetzei. If he has a left thumb, you're supposed to put it on the right thumb. Your left thumb is also good. Three shitas. But you see, the first sheet of Rabbi Eliezer says you're stuck. So the Gemara says that's similar to the case of Nazir. Similar to the case of Nazir. 2 points. Number one, Tosfos in Maseches Sanhedrin says, this relates, Aaron, to what you just said, Tosfos in Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Heimabei says the only time a Mitzora is stuck is if he had thumbs when he became a Mitzora. If he didn't have thumbs when he became a Mitzora, then the whole thing, he was never a Mitzora in the first place. It's only if he was in the Parsha at the beginning, and then Rachman al-Aslan, something happened, so then he's stuck. But if he didn't have it to begin with, you can't. He's not going to be in the parsha of Mitzora to start off with. That's what Tosfos says in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Karen Ora here, assuming that Tosfos is the Gemara is applying that type of svara both to Nazir and to Mitzora, is bothered by the comparison. Ulufiyanalo damin lahadadi. I don't know why you would compare the cutting off the thumbs and by Mitzora and Nazir, and also the Gemara there in Sanhedrin is talking about a case of Edim. Of Edim. The Pasuk says, Yad ha-Edim tia bo barishona. The hand of the Edim should, they testify about somebody, they should be part of the Onesh process. So says the Karen Or, could you compare all of these contexts? The Dafka Hasam, the Ketias Yad ha-Edim de Poter, who Gzeres ha-Kasav, Mishun de Be'inam Kroa, de Chziv, Yad ha-Edim tia bo barishona. Over there you see that I can understand why you would need it, because it's a gzeres hakasav. Yad ha'edim tia bo bo rishona. But, aval hacha gabi mitzora dim ein lo bohen, hariyu mechusir tara, hainu nesidas ha-shemen, umali nechzer bahono, mishin iskak lato moshe lo haye betchila, hari ein lo makam litein adam ha-shemen. The Karen Or doesn't understand why that svara would apply to mitzora. Lamaisa, what do you mean? He didn't become a mitzora in the first place because he didn't have thumbs? L'chori, he did become a Mitzora, says the Karen Ora. The question is, you know, right now, if he can't do the Tara process, everybody should say he's stuck. I don't understand how there could be another Shita, just because he lost them after he became a Mitzora. The Karen Ora just bothered what the Svara for that is. Okay, but either way, that's what Tosfos says, so maybe it would apply here too by Nazir, that if he had hair to begin with, would you say that he is in a difficult situation? The Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchas Lulav, let's see, somebody doesn't have a hand. How does he shake a lulav? How does he hold a lulav? How does he do the mitzvah daraisa of lulav? Chmon al Islan. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Adam she'en lo yad, no tel lulav bizro'o. So if he has some kind of stump, some kind of forearm, he can put it in. That's called a netila. Netila is lulav. That's a netila. V'cheina esrog, and also the esrog. Magen Avram, kimo gabi ein lo bohan. Just like the mitzora, our Gemara. Right, just like somebody doesn't have the thumb, no sinam makom of a yotze. Right, you put it on the spot. Right, what Reb Shimon say? You just put it on the spot and leave. Right, v'yoser tov mimash yikach lulav akach esrog. It's better than taking switching it to the left hand or other types of options, which we'll talk about in a second. But that's the sheet. He says just like Reb Shimon says. On the bottom, Machzor Shekel and others deal with, but we don't paskin like that, Reb Shimon. So how can we say, he says, oh, just like Reb Shimon says, Yaniach HaMakom V'Yeses, how can you say it by a lulav? Either way, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Mishnah Berurah discusses, what about in a mouth? Is that called a netila? See, Rechman al-Aslan, somebody doesn't have a choice. They want to do the mitzvah of netila's lulav. Right, they want to do the mitzvah. So what about, let's say something, they can use their arms. So netila b'peh. So the Mishnah Berurah says, b'di'evad, it's not okay. It's worthless. But he quotes in the bottom, but I am Bikur Yaakov. Bikur Yaakov, the Rechlaner, has a whole long piece, I didn't bring it in, has a whole long piece that, yeah, of course Peh works. If you don't have a choice, that's a Netila, that's a taking it. You don't Davka have to do a Bizroa, but he has all the Makoras there about all the times you have to take something, Shiluach HaKan, and other contexts, does Peh work? Yeah.
It can be just you're an Ones.
So you're an Ones. I'm saying, so if you're an Ones, still, is it worthwhile? Is it worthwhile? You're right, you are an Ones. But is it worthwhile?
What about
tefillin? Right, that's a question. What do you do with tefillin? What do you do with tefillin? So it's a question about, do you put it on the other arm? Right, so then you're stuck. Then you don't have any choice. Lishna Achrina. So another version of the Gemara. But we'll see, it brings in an important principle. Amar la, Amar Rava, so the Bach changes it to Rava, the same exact Gemara, but the opposite. Tudufa b'nazir ma'akevis. Here Rava says, instead of Rav, Tudufa is ma'akev. Eliba deman. Who is this according to? Who says Tudufa is ma'akev? Ilema liba d'Rabbi Eliezer. Is it according to Rabbi Eliezer, who we ended up saying it was according to the first version? Is it according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that haircuts are ma'akev shita? It's obvious. Ham Rabbi Eliezer, achamaisim kulam. Rabbi Eliezer says everything's ma'akev. So of course Tudufa is ma'akev. El aliba derabanan. So what's we like the rabbanan? The verse is 1 minute. How do you show me teklachas? I'm rabbanan lo ma'akva tnufa mi boy. The rabbanan say even the haircut is not ma'akev, which is a ma'isa begufa nazir. Tnufa is ma'akev. Of course it shouldn't be. So the gemara says that's why we ask that we don't know who it's according to. It can't be ma'akev. The gemara says 1 minute. Mi lo ma'akva? Is it not ma'akev? But vatanya, don't we have a brisa? Same one we said before, but now we're going to have the opposite understanding. Vatanya zos taras anazir bein sheish lo kapayim bein sheish lo kapayim. Doesn't that brisa tell me that it's ma'akev, that just like a nazir who has palms has to do it, so to a nazir who doesn't have palms is a problem if he can't do it? And Tosfos here quotes, we'll get back to this after we finish, Tosfos quotes, what is this line based on? Kol haroi labila bila ina ma'akeves. Kol she'ina roi labila bila ma'akeves. Meaning, the principle which we'll mention in a second, you have to have the potential to do something. Even if l'maisa you don't need to do it sometimes, you have to have the potential. So doesn't that brisa prove that it is ma'akev? The Gemara says now back. But 1 minute we have another brisa that says we compare a nazir who's bald who has hair. You want to say that means that it's ma'akev and therefore a nazir who has no hair is stuck. But for Hatanya that's not true. Basil says he's not stuck. Nazir memurit beishami omer eino tzarich lavertar rosho. Beishami says he doesn't need to, meaning he is stuck. Basil omer tzarich. Basil says he needs to and he does. So you see he's not stuck. So therefore you see that it's not ma'akev. Back to the kasha on Rava. Rabbi Avina. No, my tzarech la beis hillel tzarech vein lo takana. No, beis hillel means, by saying tzarech, tzarech, and he's stuck. That's what beis hillel means. La beis shammai yesh lo takana. Here, beis shammai would be the more makel opinion. And he would say, no, he does have a way out. He puts it on his head. He shays, who pliget Rabbi Pedas. And that would argue on Rabbi Pedas, who earlier said that beis shammai and Rabbi Eliezer are the same shita. This would be different, because this would be beis hillel. And Rabbi Eliezer would have the same shita. Would be unusual because Rabbi Eliezer is a Talmud of Beis Shammai, but this is the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara brought up here Derech Agav. It came up in Tosfos. Kolaroi Labila. We have the mucker of that principle is a halacha in Karban Mincha, that a Karban Mincha doesn't have to be the flour and the oil doesn't have to be mixed in, but it has to be ra'ui to be mixed in. Meaning, if I put in a one kli too much flour, and it wouldn't be able to be mixed properly, so that passes. But if I wouldn't put in as much flour, I would put in the right amount of flour, and it would be able to be nivla, then even if I didn't mix it, it would still be okay. That's the principle that comes up in many areas of halacha, called roi labila. One of the major areas that comes up is in Hilchas Tefila. In Hilchas Tefila, let's say, here we buy a base of Migdash. Even men will have a halacha of having to go to the mikvah medina, not just women bizman hazeh. Let's say if I have something in my mouth or something in one of my base hastarim. So the halacha is, let's say if I have a problem, whatever a problem is in my mouth. So does water have to get into my mouth? Does water have to get into my eyes? Does water have to get into my ears? All the way inside? Water doesn't have to get there. I could have my eyes closed. I could have my mouth closed. But it has to be ra'ui l'bias mayim. As long as it's ra'ui l'bias mayim, that's good enough. But if there's a problem, and it's ain't a ra'ui l'bias mayim, that's ma'akev. That's called a ra'ui l'bilas. That's what this comes, all of Hilchas Chatzitza, this is all comes up there. Rav Moshe has an important tshuva in Yaradeya, in Chelek Aleph Simin Tzadik Ches, where he talks about a woman who had a terrible ear infection, and she has to put a cotton ball all the way in her ear. Right, so you can't see it. It's all the way, it can be pushed in. So is that a problem? Is that a problem? Rav Moshe was asked to put a deep cotton ball. Okay, we're not paskaling here. We're just going through the tshuva. A cotton ball all the way into the ear. Is that a problem of chatzisa? So Rav Moshe has an important chiddush. Lanias daiti davar chadash. Yeshnei mini chatzitzas. Rav Moshe says there are two types of chatzitzas. One that is attached to the body and one that is covering the body. One that is attached to the body, says Rav Moshe, is a problem even in Beis HaStarim. even in a mouth, and even in something that's attached to the body. We'll talk about stitches in a minute. We'll talk about other things. But something that's just covering, something that's covering part of the body, in Beis Hastarim, that's not going to be a problem. That's still called Ro'i L'Bias Mayim. It's just an external problem that's covering, but that's not, that doesn't undermine the definition of Ro'i L'Bias Mayim. That's our motion. Therefore, if he's makel in this case, if it's all the way in, because of this Makam Sarach, because it's only covering and it's not part of it. He doesn't relate it to this chiddush. I mean, a little bit he does, but later on, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, which comes up sometimes. We know lachanchila, a woman's supposed to take out her contact lenses before she goes to the mikvah. Let's say, gotten a shayla before, let's say she forgot. Forgot to take out her contact lenses. She comes home, I didn't take out my contact lenses. So is that a problem? So based on this Rav Moshe, bidi eved will be okay. That's why many poskim assume that b'di'evit will be okay. Again, you have to take it off l'chadchila. But b'di'evit will be okay, again, because it's not connected to her, but it's just covering. Gam, Rav Moshe writes in a later tshuva, it's simen kuf dalet, same simen. Kivan shalom is davku sham b'devek, she'inim chotasim, v'im shachach alasirim, ein sorach tvi lacheres, v'rach l'chadchila, kivan she'yechol alasirim be'atzma, sorach lahasirim. Right? So you have to l'chadchila take it out. Again, not every posek agrees to this, that's kuf dalet. In also in Yoredeya Aleph. If you look in the Nishmas Avram in Yoredeya, he has a whole discussion of the different tshuvas. She forgot to remove them before immersion. There are poskim who rule that she need not immerse herself again. That's Rav Moshe. That's Rav Tzvi Pesach. Others say that she should. The Menachas Yitzchak. Others are machalik between what? How does she wear these contacts? Does she take them out during? Only put them in part of the day? Does she wear them all day? Does she wear them even during the night? She wear them for a week? And then take them off every week. So again, every case is different. How much are these butt dealt to her body? Every case is different. But again, that is an important issue regarding Ro'i Labila. Stitches are a major issue. Nowadays, we live in the realm of, in the time period of this, of absorbable, right? Absorbable and, so what I'm looking for? Dissolvable, thank you. Dissolvable stitches. That's a much less problematic in halacha, because then already, I don't have to go back to the doctor, they're dissolvable. So many, many poskim say any type of dissolvable stitches are going to be, many types of dissolvable stitches are going to be okay. It's not going to be a problem, but that's Ro'i L'Bias Mayim. That's part of your body. And water gets onto the stitches, that's okay. Stitches that have to come out, that's more of an issue. So it depends where they are. What if they're in the mouth and you can't see them? Rav Moshe has a tshuva about that. And you're a day of Beis Pezayin. What about if you have stitches all the way deep in your mouth? And they're going to come out, but you can't see them. So again, Rav Moshe says, is that called Ro'i L'Bias Mayim? Right? That's our issue. Rav Moshe's makel if you can't see them unless you take an instrument enough to pick up the skin. That's called Beis HaStarim. Rav Moshe says, that's not even Beis HaStarim. That's called Balua. Right? If you have something, an incision on your liver, that's not going to be a problem for Hilchas Tefillah. That's not called Beis HaStarim. That's called Balua. Balua means inside of you. Inside of you is for sure not going to be a problem. Okay, just one more line, and then we'll dive in. There's a question what the Rambam sheet is. The Rambam says by a bald nazir, right? The Rambam says a bald nazir does not have to do anything. Doesn't have to do anything, right? He becomes a tahar without anything. So the question is, who does he hold like? We didn't have any of that. We didn't have any. Either we said in our Mishnah that you're stuck, or you have to at least put a razor on your head. So who does the Rambam pass being like? So the Kesa Mishnah's body sounds like he's like nobody. Unless he says you interpret Beis Hillel different than how the Gemara interpreted Beis Hillel. Einot Tzorach means literally Einot Tzorach. Says that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. You have to say Einot Tzorach means Einot Tzorach. V'yavo b'shashina rabbeinu miloshin Beis Hillel linya din makavana lo shina. L'maisa, you don't even know whether you have to put a razor on the bald head or not. You know, the Rambam says it is okay. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about the lumdis of Kol Ro'i L'Bila, an important Ar Sameach, Beis Hashem, at the beginning of tomorrow's shiur, and then we talk about Kohen and Anazir walking down the street, who's been timing themselves l'mais. Kohen Gadol and Anazir. Yeah.